in by change of the eight beatitudes of the Decalogue, of the New Law. Well, the Ten Commandments were the chosen people of Israel. The beatitudes are the people of God in Christianity. St. Ignatius gives only the beatitudes as found to God from St. Matthew. As we know, they are complemented by the Gospel of Luke. You find four blessings and four woes, maledictions for those who refuse to follow the beatitude. No less the commandments of God, either live the commandments or we pay the price. Either follow the beatitudes or we pay the price. First reflection. The beatitude is a vocation to discipleship. St. Ignatius makes it plain that Jesus proposes the beatitudes to his beloved disciples set apart. Or the evangelist puts it, quote, see the clouds, you ran up the mountain. While you were seated down, his disciples came to him. Holding his mouth, he taught them the beatitude. The beatitudes are not, strictly speaking, meant for everyone. What are the beatitudes? They promise new happiness, of supernatural joy to those who fulfill the eight conditions as followers of Christ. The attitudes are a synthesis of authentic Christianity. In the original inspired text, each beatitude, as we know, begins with the promise of blessing. This means much more than merely being happy. Blessed is no ordinary happiness. Blessedness is supernatural happiness. In the fountain of grace, and not only a benefit of nature. To be blessed as a voice is made happy by God. Supernaturally happy is only God can reward those who serve Him with their whole heart. Oh, what 52 years of priesthood have taught me. We all want to be happy. The secret is, what kind of happiness do we want? Is the joy, is the happiness that people can give us? Or is the unique kind of happiness that only God can provide? The attitudes are eight promises of happiness from God. As you know, our Lord assured his followers to be happy. Period. Not only the life to come, but happy here on earth. One condition, that we as followers of Christ form our wills God to God is known from reason. He was God in even the Old Testament. What is God became man to tell us how to live. By all human standards, to live the life of a true follower of Christ, I repeat, by all human standards, is not easy. He's not pleasant to human nature. But the joy and happiness we seek is not natural. Oh, many hours I could spend on distinguishing natural joy from supernatural happiness. By all human standards, to follow Christ faithfully means to endure. Unless we endure, we cannot truly enjoy. Heaven is to be foretasted on earth, but you got to pay dearly, shall I say, pay expensively for following Jesus Christ, the limits of our power as provided by the grace of God. Selective proclamation of Beatitudes to his disciples. Just to his disciples. Brings to light an essential aspect of our faith. There's an absolute sense which the Beatitudes are meant for every Christian believer, but not directly. The disciples were the immediate recipients of the Beatitudes. Am I clear? Christ took the disciples aside. The Beatitudes originally proclaimed by Jesus were given only to his disciples. This was part of their apostolic vocation. Repeating the price of being happy supernaturally is hard. That is why, after giving them the Beatitude, Christ, don't you tell the disciples, they were the soul of the earth and the light of the world. Supernaturally, by all human standards, they may seem to be unhappy. I have one strange statement to make. This is the whole genius of Catholic Christianity. Within the church, there are those who are spiritually gifted by grace to learn the truth proclaimed by Christ. They put these truths into practice and then proclaim these truths to others to be stressed. Is that Christ Himself lives in the attitude, then proclaimed to the disciples. A good synonym for the imitation of Christ is the practice of the Beatitudes. All these I've given and make the retreat four meditations every day just on the Beatitudes. Exercise we call them an approved method of living the Beatitudes with the divinely assured promise of, but remember the adjective, spiritual joy. To be happy interiorly, to be happy in spirit, you must pay for it and pay dearly. To our meditation. Says St. Ignatius, no creature can bring the soul such joy as comes from the Holy Spirit. Again, St. Ignatius, those who carry God in their hearts carry paradise within them. Let me tell you, they must pay dearly, pay expensively. One more interesting measures. There is nothing sweeter than to love God. But I'm two quoting St. Ignatius. The greatest sign of love is to suffer for the one whom we love. You married men, I know I trust you know. Real love means you pay for it dearly. So for God is the supreme joy we can experience on earth. I seldom pronounce that sentence. Now the Beatitude. One, two, three, each of the Beatitudes sets down the condition of the joy that Christ promised His followers. Each condition is contrary to the wisdom of this world. All that needs to be said. To be happy, happy with supernatural joy is costly. Is expensive. You gotta pay for it. Pay dearly. With God's grace, I've published 45 books. One book I will never publish is my own autobiography. You have to pay to follow Jesus Christ to the limit. It is expensive. Now the Beatitudes. first. A poverty of spirit. In his first beatitude, Jesus promises the kingdom of heaven to those who are eternally detached from everything in this world. Heaven and earth are revealed as contrasts. More our hearts are freed from earthly riches and possessions, more happy we shall be in this, even this side of heaven. So to resist the with St. Augustine, we can say the heaven is where the experience of God is enjoyed. That's heaven. We are to be happy here on earth, but you must practice. We must practice poverty of spirit. With St. Augustine began to say, heaven is where the experience of God's presence is enjoyed. We are to enjoy this presence even now, and only in the measure that our wills are conformed to the divine will. Now that, my friends, is hard. Second, the attitude, meekness. There was a difference, a big difference between what we call meekness and gentleness. Both terms are expressed in the second beatitude. Meekness is a virtue of temperance, which controls our natural impulse. Which controls our natural impulse to anger under provocation. Let me share this with all of you. In God's name, let me make sure one fruit of this retreat will be we have developed a virtue of meekness. We have control of natural impulse to anger. Gentleness, however, is something different. Gentleness is the virtue of charity, which restrains our natural urge to severity with those who provoke us. The more provoked you are, the more you should cultivate the virtue of gentleness. The promise of our Lord, we shall possess the earth, is not a poetic phrase. In the assurance of Israel, heaven's own mother, your father, heaven's over your children. Be a child of grace to others only in the degree that we are meek and gentle of heart. my temper. I trust that some of you have a temper too. The secret of meekness and gentleness is to master this violent temptation to anger. A strange virtue. Morning. Spelling along you are. N-I-N-D. Jesus gave us a model for the Jewish sorrow, but as we know, he wept over Jerusalem. He would have a Jerusalem. One generation after Christ was crucified, some 100,000 Jews in Jerusalem were crucified. The only thing that kept the Romans from crucifying were Jews. The Romans ran out of trees. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, as Christ proclaimed, if only you had recognized who was among you. Living God became man and was crucified by the leaders of Jerusalem. About morning, Christ gave us the model for a legitimate sorrow. Then Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Again, we met at the grave of Lazarus, we love. To mourn, to weep, is human. God himself mourned. He gives us the privilege of mourning in this world. What's the promise? The promise from God is the strength of will, not only to mourn with patience, but to go in love, because faith tells us we are most pleased to God and we are most like His divine Son. Sorrow, tears, part of the family of Jesus Christ. Again, Christ promised that hunger and thirst will be satisfied. The close biblical synonym for strong desire are hunger and thirst. We are told that our desires will be satisfied in this life, provided we want what God wants. All our desires should always be satisfied, and they will be on one condition. What we want is God wants us to want. What then is the secret of happiness in heaven and on earth? It is to know what God wants of us. That is the main purpose of making retreat. What does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? Then choose what he wants, and then do it. my desire. And not to be unhappy in this world. We are to be happy in this side of heaven. What condition? Not to conform our will to the demanding will of God. By all human standards, it may be painful. I know what I am saying. The deepest joy on earth is to choose what God wants me to choose, no matter how painful the experience may be. Oh, dear Lord, what am I saying? I am sharing with you the experience of over 50 years in the priesthood. I am a maxim of St. Ignatius. Quoting St. Ignatius. Few souls understand what God was affecting them. They only gave themselves entirely into his hands, allowed his grace to act. How much pseudo happiness there is in this world. How many false joys. The only true joy which makes us truly happy already here on earth is to choose what we know God wants us to choose, no matter how painful it may be. I did a rehearse at a men retreat. When I left home, and my own mother alone, at the top of the stairwell, she was still standing on the way to the Jesuit division. For a split second, I thought to myself, "Hard, you fool. You realize how much your mother is grieving? Close my eyes, close the door, and left. I'm happy to report my mother lived to my ordination. So we ordained. A few months after my ordination, she died. Very happy. My mother worked every night to the night before she died. Mother and I were very poor. Never had a telephone. Never had a newspaper. Oh, dear God. Dear God. We, the wealthiest nation in the world, need to understand that happiness does not consist in possessing the things of this world. Quoting St. Ignatius once more. Few souls understand what God had affected them that they should give themselves entirely, entirely in His hands, allowing His grace to act. mercy, purity, peace, and persecution. Throughout the Gospels, we find one teaching of Christ and another explaining, illustrating the Beatitude. What is mercy? Mercy is a condition for obtaining mercy from God. The one truth that Christ made plain, the cause and effect between our mercy toward others and God's mercy to us. We all need, every one of us, examine our consciences. How patient, how kind, how gentle, in a word, how merciful are we are. Are we with the people that God put into our lives? By a profoundly wise reason for allowing us to be offended by others, we must be offended. Thank God for anyone who offends you. Offense can be not only a casual remark, can be a lifetime of injustice. God wants us, He wants us, because we need it, to be offended by others. Provides us with the opportunity to do penance, not only for our own sins, but for the sins of those who may have deeply, seriously, grievously offended us. The order, purity of heart. Two kinds of purity are implied in this beatitude. They are purity from sin or sinlessness and the purity of chastity. On both levels, the reward from God is overwhelming. We are still see God. We shall see God only if this life we live a sinner's life, then shall I add, live with a chaste heart. No one else, once more, no one else has a right to heaven. One examination of conscience, or the group that I speak to, the more sure I am what I am saying. One examination of conscience we can all make. Even here on earth, they speak of seeing God by faith as a foundation for hope and love. We are to grow in faith. The divinely ordained means of this growth of sinlessness and chastity. We grow in our understanding of our faith only the measure that we strive with God's grace to become more and more sinless and more chaste in our lives. Let me stress this. As we grow in chastity, which means chastity not only in body but also in mind, our perception of God becomes more vivid. Over this side of heaven, I mean this, we shall see God. I've seen men living in the most unchaste nation in the world. Dear God, how we must master, not just control, but master our eyes, our ears, our sense of touch. We want to remain chaste. Peacemaking and intimacy with God. Peace, as we know, is the absence of conflict. Peace and tranquility avoided. The free definition of peace by the Church. That tranquility avoided. Things are as they should be, there is peace. Immediately we must distinguish peace of mind from peace of heart. How I'd like to speak for hours on this subject. Peace of mind is the experience of knowing the truth. Peace of heart is the experience of doing God's will. We are to experience both, both peace of mind and peace of heart. But how careful we must be, how careful we must be, what we read, what we hear, what we listen to, what we look at, or to maintain peace of mind. There can be no peace of heart unless there is first peace of mind. I must know the truth before I can choose the true good, what God wants me to choose. However, it is ever important. Is not only peace within people, which makes them, as we say, peaceful. There's also peace between people. Maybe in the church language, peaceful. Oh, very important statement. There can be no real peace between people, unless there is peace within us, within people. Whenever I ask you, O Lord, to give you the fruit of this retreat, as a deep, lasting peace of mind inside of you, because then, only then, to be truly and really at peace with others. All the discord, all the comforting people, to be face, we don't have a lack of interior peace with those or in conflict with others. Oh, dear God, how we need to pray and beg the Lord to give us, each of us interiorly, a deep peace of mind and peace of heart. This beatitude of Christ builds on the premise of Christ's own teaching. In order to be at peace within ourselves, we are to be at peace with others. And then, there are three levels, what I call being a peacemaker. First, how am I to be a peacemaker? Helping other people to know the truth is to bring them peace of mind. There is no peace of mind except in the person who knows the truth. Dear God, how we must, this may be the sixth time I'm saying this in the retreat, must watch what we read, watch what we look at. You experience peace of mind. We ought to help others have peace of their will, peace of heart. But let me be honest. We ought to bring only as much peace to others as we are at peace ourselves. One more recommendation. We are to be peacemakers by doing everything we can to reconcile people who are in conflict. Because they are not personally at peace within their own minds and hearts. Let me be honest. Our success as reconciling people will be only as strong as God's grace is alive within us. But this peace of mind and peace of will that we have measured our own subjection to the will of God. The price of peace is harmony. The cost of peace is expensive. We are taught to be peacemakers. To be honest, we only as truly peacemakers between people we ourselves are at peace within ourselves. What is the reward of peacemaking? It is mysterious. The promise of a special intimacy with God, that of children with their parents. God is the Supreme Father, the provider of the human race. Our effort and zeal to bring peace to others, violence with such deep satisfaction that we've never before experienced. You know what I'm telling you? in God's name. Whatever you can to reconcile. Don't you know whom you love will not have peace between themselves. One more strange observation. To follow Christ faithfully means, I know what I'm saying, to endure persecution. All the stories I can tell. The bishops, the priests, the religious. You'll mention the name harden to them without arousing their anger. You talk about the eighth beatitude. Blessed are those to suffer persecution. The whole teaching of Jesus Christ is summed up in his statement. We must ourselves be at peace within ourselves if we hope to help others be at peace in themselves. Only peaceful people are peacemakers. No one else will succeed. And God became man. For him is message of salvation. You are. Put it mildly. God, through the God in human form. For when God received favorably the people among whom he lived, opposed, persecuted, and finally crucified. Well, the years have asked people, why did Jesus live for 3 years at Nazareth? Except for a short stay in Egypt. Nazareth, one of the smallest, least town, least known towns of Palestine. He was out of sight, earshot of others. Once Jesus began to proclaim his gospel publicly, what happened? The beginning of his public ministry to his own town tried to want to kill him. Oh, dear Lord, what price you are expected to pay to a life of union with God and proclaim that life to others, because it is not easy, not easy, not easy to be a true follower of Christ. There is one infallible way of becoming an enemy of the world. All you have to do is sincerely follow Jesus Christ faithfully. And not yet in heaven. There is such a thing, however, as happiness on earth in hope. After all, what is hope? Hope. fervent desire for obtaining some future good. Can there be greater confidence than trust in Christ that truth become man? Has any human being suffered more than God who became man? The joys of heaven await us are sure of obtaining heaven. We are the one condition. Be patiently, lovingly accept rejection by the world. I know what I am saying. A short quotation from St. Ignatius. Experience teaches us. There'll be greater profit if there are more contradictions. And while we pay dearly, following Jesus Christ, the more sure we are of heaven, the greater joy awaits us in that happiness for which we are made. Dear Lord, we beg you, give us some of your patience and repay you on earth, because the joy that awaits us beyond human comprehension.